Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB, and today we're going to be talking with Donna Dwyer. She is the executive director, educator, entrepreneur, and she is the president and CEO of MPTC, My Place Teen Center. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, I'm glad to have you on. You know, leadership is tough.
I believe it is.
Leadership means that you actually have to make decisions. Leadership means that you have to take a stand.
Correct.
Leadership means that sometimes you're not the most popular person.
Oh, I know that.
And leadership means that what you decide can affect a lot of people's lives and affect the organization, affect the company, future, current. It sometimes can be a pretty heavy place to be. Agree?
I would agree.
Okay. So when people are looking at being a leader, sometimes I've seen it, people shy away from being leaders because they're, quote, potentially scared of that role. They're afraid to make decisions. They're afraid that they might get it wrong. But it is rewarding.
Yes.
I think we'll agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
It is rewarding to be a leader. So when we're talking today, we're going to be looking at why people make those decisions, some of the impact, the emotional toll it can take on that. I think today it's a really important conversation to have. So where do you see leadership in terms of the effect it can have on a person itself?
Well, you know, first of all, I think that some people are just driven to be leaders. That's all they can be. They've demonstrated that through their whole lives, whether they led Girl Scout cookie campaigns, whether they were the Star Eagle Scout, whether they were the captain of the swimming team. There's some people in our field that are just naturally driven to be the leader of the pack. And I think other people are kind of groomed to be the leader, whether it be unwittingly or unwillingly, but eventually by virtue of their skill set that they end up being a leader. So you can come from it from a variety of angles. I happen to be driven to be a leader. That's all I know how to be, and that's all I want to be. Yet it does come with a heavy price and a heavy toll, because you may not have the skill set to rise to the occasion sometimes, and yet you are called to be that leader and to be that role model and to be that template and that example. And there's a lot of accountability and responsibility to that.
Well, you know, sometimes even if you're having success, the individual doesn't necessarily feel successful. Why is that?
You know, that is obviously just human nature. You know, whether you're assailed with self-doubt, whether you question yourself, I've come up with a mantra which has really proven to be true over the past 20 years from personal circumstances and professional circumstances, and that is be fearless in your fear. And there are times when we're making decisions as leaders, as the head of the company, as the head of the organization, as head of the stakeholders, where you wonder to yourself, am I making the right decision? And it could be the right decision, and you could be surrounded by trophies and awards and accolades, and yet you still wonder, am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Where do we go from here? It's never good enough.
That is the challenge, isn't it? Yeah. Even successful people will say, what about next?
Yes.
What comes next?
You know, I think there's an attitude of we're always looking forward as leaders. We're always wondering what's the next get, what's the next ask, what's the next accomplishment, what do we need to do? That it's very hard to just sit, rest, look at what is present in front of you, appreciate what's in front of you. I think that appreciation of what's right in front of you can be fleeting because we're always looking ahead. We're always looking to improve. We're always looking to make enhancements.
Well, I think it's interesting because the culture would say that that's how you have to think. If you're not running, you're getting passed. If you're not thinking ahead, you're falling behind. If you're not, you know, thinking of what's coming next, somebody else is going to pass you by. So that is a cultural discussion, is it not?
It is, and I do think that it is a luxury to be able to revel in your present, and it's not a luxury that I think is taken advantage of very often. Because it is a requirement, absolutely, to be always looking forward and to be always considering your stakeholders, whether that be your employees, your shareholders, whatever it may be, you're always looking ahead. So it's really, the leader really has to be quite a chameleon. And, you know, we talk about people who are marathon runners. I'm not one. I can run a 5K.
I am not either, just so you all know. I run into the car when it rains. That's my extent of running.
So I think you and I, Dave, would appreciate somebody who actually can run a marathon.
Oh, sure. No question.
Or who can run the Ironman and whatnot. But in essence, as leaders, we're always running a marathon. We are running a marathon, which is our business, which is our professional life, which is our personal life. And so we are always training. That analogy of running a marathon, we do run a marathon. And there are days when it really stinks to be running that marathon, or times or moments. And there are days when it's absolutely exhilarating. And so I think having that analogy is that we actually are marathon runners is a way to look at it. We're in training.
Leaders sometimes internalize a lot. They, you know, we work with a lot of, obviously, CEOs. It's lonely at the top as a CEO, as president, right? Because you really can't talk to the board too much about your thoughts and ideas because they're your bosses. And you really can't tell your subordinates what you're really thinking because, in fact, they may not like your ideas or may influence you in a way that is not necessarily appropriate. So it's lonely at the top. And that can lead to, you know, people feeling insecure about their positions, secure about themselves. I would argue probably could even cause some, you know, maybe depression or areas of that. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, again, there's a huge accountability for the leader to be the role model and to be the example and for to be the template. And so when that kind of sense of urgency, but sense of responsibility that you always have to be on, I call it you always have to be on, even if you're stepped away from the office or you're on vacation, well, you still have to be on. You still have to be accountable. And so that that level of discipline, as I said before, you can either come at it with a feeling of confidence that you already have that confidence, or you have to learn that confidence. Because those trigger points of, did I do it right? Did I make the right decision? How this will this impact? You talk about the employees. Well, our role is to ensure that when the employees go home, that they go home intact. Because we're not only working with the employees, we're working with their families in essence as well. Because if we send them home in tatters because of a mistake we've made or something inappropriate that we've said, and we send them home to their families in that state, we're actually impacting that family unit. So I think that level of responsibility for not only the shareholders and the mission statement and the dividends and whatever it may be, as well as caretaking with the employees, ensuring that they're shining stars and what they leave work with is this sense of passion and wanting to come back, can lead to doubt. Did I make the right decisions? And God forbid, if we make a mistake or a misstep or we say something that does hurt someone's feelings, or if there a punitive action has to happen, then we can perseverate on that. And that can cause, I think, some emotional trauma within the leader.
That emotional trauma can come home too, right? It can
yes.
be affected with maybe sleeplessness or irritability or frustration, and you can take it out on your family, or you feel like you have to work more so you don't go home that often. It can be a slippery slope.
I would agree. And I think that there's something that I appreciate that's coming more to the fore. And I think that there's more of a focus in society as a whole that we are caring about mental health, that we are worrying about mental health just in general, not just in leadership, but that we are paying attention that this is a recognized disability, that this is a recognized illness, and this is something we need to pay attention to. And leaders are not immune to this. And my contention is, especially leaders, that if they are experiencing doubt, if they are experiencing those sleepless nights, if they are constantly running to catch up and constantly running ahead, and they are not just appreciating what's in their present moment, then they are impacted as well. And I have seen that time and time again.
When our leader is in a situation where he or she is concerned that this is the point they're at, right? They recognize they're under stress. They recognize they're in maybe a place where they're feeling vulnerable. What are some of the things that you say that they should think of to realize, hey, it's not as bad as they really are thinking it is?
There are definitely strategies, and I have been in those shoes. Here I am. I have 3 graduate degrees. I'm a president and CEO, yet there have been times in my life as a leader when I have not had the confidence, when I have doubted myself confidence. And so the old adage of fake it till you make it, I think really applies here. And the discipline that you have in your own work as a leader to be a very skillful and successful leader, you have to apply those same disciplines and methodologies to you as a person to continue to say and to have that mantra, be fearless in your fear. Keep moving forward. Keep making those decisions. And if you have naysayers or muckrakers or the swamp people, as I say, that try to tether you down and try to hold you down, you really have to have your best foot forward and to have that confidence, but more importantly, the strength internally to keep moving forward.
Why do you think that leadership is... Debbie, take that back. You mentioned that sometimes you're put in a position of a leader, either because you choose it or because you're the selected one, the chosen one.
Your DNA demands it.
So you do believe that it's internal. It's not necessarily environmental.
I think it can be both.
Okay. So when it's environmental, because the DNA one is pretty simple. It's internal.
You either are or you aren't.
When it's environmental, when you're thrust to a situation where you need to be a leader and you don't have that confidence, but it's your turn and you have no choice, what are some of the things that you can do as an individual to realize it's okay, it's going to be okay?
Well, I think you should arm yourself. You should Google. You should watch those TED Talks. You should learn the art of leadership. You should get a mentor. You should watch other people, their nonverbal body language, their verbal language, how they handle, that you look for role models in your field so that you can become up to speed with those leadership skill sets, because some are innate and some are learned. We don't always have it all. It's really nice when you have that passion and your and the drive to be a leader, then it becomes more natural. But when you don't and you're thrust into that limelight and everyone is looking at you, and if you stumble on your words and if you're nervous and if you let them see you sweat, sometimes admitting that you are nervous or that they see you sweat will endear you to them even more, I think, is to allow them to say, hey, I'm human too, and I make mistakes. But I think just surrounding yourself with, whether it be learn through classes or books or mentors or talks, that you can easily learn the skill set of leadership. It's the art. You can learn it, but it's the art of displaying it. And I think that factors into knowing how to be compassionate and kind, as well as savvy as a leader. That's most important.
Yeah, savvy is an interesting word. It's sometimes leadership is about presentation, right?
It's all about presentation.
I was going to say, it really is not necessarily always about substance.
Correct.
So, But that's sometimes hard for people to understand, right? It's hard for them
to... How you present yourself, how you look, how you present yourself, what you wear, how you communicate, is it? They're all watching that.
And that's that first impression, right?
Yes.
That impressionable moment. We talk about it in careers. We talk about it in interviews. We talk about it all the time. Cocktail parties, you walk in, you get an impression about somebody.
Sure.
Within 10, 15 seconds, you know if you're either going to, I call it flight or fight. Sure. Right? You're going to go talk to them or you're going to run like heck.
Yes.
Right? You know, like, yeah. I don't know, but my gut tells me X.
Well, what was your first impression of me, Dave? Yeah. You're
still
We're talking
with Donna Dyer, president of CEO at MPTC, My Place Teen Center. We're talking to her about not happy, get in line, or be fearless in your fear. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay tees are just $19.99 each when you buy two or more.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next? What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Jeff O'Donnell, owner of O'Donnell's Nursery in North Scarborough. During these lazy days of summer, slightly cooler nights remind us that fall is coming, and with it, more reliable rain. Now is a great time to plant. Stunning foliage is just around the corner, and at O'Donnell's Nursery, we have plenty of main-grown trees and shrubs that will burst forth in a kaleidoscope of colorful leaves and berries. O'Donnell's Nursery on Routes 22 and 114 at the Scarborough-Gorham Line, where you can also visit our garden shop to find that unique gift or floral arrangement. See us online at odonnellsnurseries.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Donna Dwyer, President and CEO of MPTC, My Place Teen Center. Great organization in Westbrook, Maine. Let me just take a quick second. Tell me about the organization.
Well, I'm so glad you asked because it's my favorite thing to talk about. We are an after-school program located in the heart of Westbrook. We've been around for 17 years, so we're a teenager too. We serve kids ages 10 to 18. We serve about 500 kids a year. And we're open 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, year-round. And our basic construct is we provide character education, academic excellence, life skills, and civic engagement. So it's really important what we do because these kids are your future neighbors, coworkers, employees, and someday, Dave, they could be you. And so you want them to come through our red doors.
No question. I think it's great. It's a great organization. You do great work.
Thank you.
Very, very good work. And, you know, there are a lot of things that we should be doing for the children. Mm-hmm. And I think the organization provides some great information. And by the way, on the HRPowerHour.com site after this show, you'll be able to get Donna's information as well as a link directly to her organization as well. We'll make sure that's on there.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. So, you know, getting back to leadership that we talked about a little bit before. And by the way, you asked what your first impression was when you walked in.
Yeah, and then you took off.
And then I had to go to break.
you
know,
segued.
My producer's over there waving, you got to go to break. So I went to break. That's what it is. But it was a very good first impression. Okay? You did very good. No problem at all. That's good. Thank you,
awesome.
Debbie, for allowing
Thanks
that
for
break
me.
To be there. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You know, so we're talking about leadership, and we're talking about presentation. And you have a paragraph that you wrote in regards to CEOs and leaders, and I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. And the paragraph goes, at some point in your career, you will be assailed with self-doubt, crippled by fear, plagued with worry. You will not sleep. You will be clouded by uncertainty. You will lose your patience. You will get angry. You will take it out on your loved ones. You will bring out the worst in yourself. Then the guilt, the knowing that you have lashed out in fear, in depression, I'm sorry, in desperation, in knowing you are wrong, yet you are the leader. You're the one with charisma. You're the one with vision, passion, knowing, delivering, and knowing you're the one. Talk about that.
Well, I have been guilty of all of those things. That is human nature. And leaders are typically type A personalities. Leaders are typically very hard on themselves and have very high expectations of themselves, as they do with others. So when these things happen, when a misstep occurs, when you have injured someone with your words or your actions, you can take that to heart pretty literally and entirely. And it's very hard to recognize that as leaders, we're human too. It's very hard to say, I'm sorry, but it must be done. And it's very hard to just go down that path where knowing, you know, not 100% of the time can I be on, happy, accountable, and yet that is what is demanded of a leader. And so what I have discovered throughout the years is that these are normal things, that mistakes do happen, and that has an impact, and that has effect on a leader emotionally and physically. And it's important to recognize that it does have an impact, and it is important to remedy it and to take care of it.
It's so important that people think about what's really happening behind the scenes, right? It's not necessarily the glamorous image that the leader presents. It's really what is emotionally happening behind the scene.
You hit the nail on the head. The leaders a lot of times are glamorized, that they are put on this pedestal and that they can do no wrong, so to speak, or shouldn't do any wrong. And yet there can be a lot of scuttlebutt about that leader from their employees. And so what do you do to make sure that people are happy, that they're secure, that they're flourishing, that they're thriving? And so understanding that leaders are human, that they're coming up through the ranks, that they are learning how to be leaders a lot of times, that there may be books out there and talks out there and mentors about how to do it, but when you're actually in the trenches of being a leader, it's a whole different animal and a whole different ball game. And so adaptability is very important.
I think that's critical, actually, because things change so fast. And I've seen many times when we're doing executive coaching, for example, that a leader can be doing something so right and everything's going perfect, and then something happens, right? And
something always happens.
And I was just going to say,
something always happens.
And they
happens.
Don't realize that something always
right?
happens. And I liken it to national politics or national
sure.
media. You have somebody who assails to be this wonderful person, this great leader. Everybody's on board. They rise, and then something happens. And the media and everything tear them down to the absolute worst thing on the planet. and then they build them back up again, right? I mean, that's it's no different in a company.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times for myself personally, I've had rose-colored glasses on. And it's I've learned along the way, especially in the past 4 or 5 years, that the world is not all rosy, but it's how you approach that world that can be rosy. And there are definitely people, as I referred to them before, the swamp people, who can try to ride on your coattails so that the coattails drag in the mud. And you have to learn to say, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to keep on moving forward. I know what I'm doing is right and it's the right thing, but you may not be the most popular person in the room.
Well, popularity is not necessarily something a leader has to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when leaders are out there, one of the things that I've seen, hey, I used to be a leader of many, many people, and
sure.
sometimes hundreds of people in my career. And I realized along getting into that process that I don't have to like everyone. Like is not a leadership trait you need. What I have to do is make sure that they're capable and confident, and that from a standpoint of that I provide the guidance and directions to get the best out of them to do the work. Like is a byproduct of that. Now, it's always better if you can like them, but when you have so many people that work for you, you're not going to necessarily like everyone. It's not about like. It's about, you know, connecting the right dots to make them the most effective and efficient person possible.
So Dave, if you don't mind, if as a leader of hundreds of people, what you just read, the verbiage that you just read, had that been your experience? Have you ever experienced this
There is
before?
No question the elements of that, I think I have. No question about that. You know, when I look at that, and that's why I certainly read it, there are many times that I questioned the decisions I made. There are many times that I probably should have said something or done something or taken it home. Right? I'm sure that if my wife was listening to this, she would go, that fits you sometimes to a T. sleeping, I used to say sleeping is optional.
Sure.
Right? Because, you know, when you're sleeping, you can't be doing things. And so we all go through that as a moment. I think it's about realizing, as I've gotten older in my career, I'm not saying I'm old, ladies and gentlemen, just saying as I get older in my career, you realize...
I'm not saying a peep.
Nope. No, and I didn't ask you what your first impression was either. I just want you to notice that.
I really like
just
your shirt,
say,
Dave.
There we go, the shirt. One of the things that you realize is you can't be everything to everyone at some point. And you do try at first. You do try to do too much. You do. And you take it all on your shoulders rather than allowing your people to do what they do, right? And there's an element
right.
of that. You do. It's just
right.
it's part of what it is. So there's no question that, you know, I think if you look at, I bet if you talk to any leader, they would say that part of that is probably true.
But, you know, we don't talk about it.
Right.
We
don't.
We always have to be the hero. We always have to be the Calvary that, you know, we're coming in to save the world, that we have the enthusiasm with the passion. And yet on those days or on those moments when you're thinking to yourself, you know, what am I doing here? Or I just don't really feel good today or at this moment. This is really tough. We don't display that level of vulnerability. And that's what it is. It's honest vulnerability.
Yeah. No, it's true. Because leadership... People think that to be vulnerable, you're weak.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
When, in fact, as you had said earlier in the show, sometimes a little bit of humility is actually really good for a leader.
Yes, because that you're on the level playing field, because not for one moment do the employees also feel these same emotions and these ideals or the same passion or the same wanting to be better, more skilled. And so as leaders, we feel the same way. So actually, we're much more alike than different. It's just that at the end of the day, we sign the paychecks and we make the decisions, the ultimate decisions, which we also are responsible for the outcomes of those decisions.
Well, I think that's why it's so important for leaders to have people they can talk to.
Yes.
To have either mentors or
yes.
executive coaching or some sort of
yes.
Person they can go to that they can share important decision-making processes, important decision-making, you know, thoughts and ideas without fear of repercussion, even if it's a dumb idea.
Exactly. That you have a safe place. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of our mission statement is we're a safe haven for the kids, but leaders also need to have a safe haven where they can just vent, where they can say what they need to say, where they can be vulnerable, where they can look like an idiot if they need to without being judged per se. And so that safe place, or to get ideas or feedback as to how to move forward. This is a tricky situation for me. I'm not sure what to do.
No, it's absolutely critical. And we all have had that.
Yes.
Right? We've all had that need.
Yes.
And if you do get that help, if you do have people, you know, some leaders say, oh, that's weak. You know, I don't need a therapist, a psychologist, or anything like that. And in fact, we're not saying, I think we're saying today, you need a therapist, a psychologist. You just need someone to talk to.
You know, I think it's important to recognize that having that mentor is critical, but also being able to say, hey, maybe I do need a therapist. Maybe I do need to briefly talk with someone. Maybe I need to understand, is it the chicken or the egg? Meaning, if you're not sleeping, sleeping is optional. We know that it's not optional.
No, it's not.
Biologically and physiologically. But if sleeping, does sleeping beget depression? Does depression beget not sleeping? So it's really understanding that as a leader, you could be, it's perfectly acceptable and acknowledging that as a leader, you could be wildly successful. But in your quiet and private moments, you could not be as well. And that we have a tendency to be really good at compartmentalizing things, whether it be our personal life, from our professional life, from our emotional health to how we display our health. And so it's important to recognize all of that is okay, and that you can be all those things and still be wildly successful. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's very true. I think leadership, sometimes good leaders realize that it is a balancing act. It's not just being totally driven. It is about making sure your people can connect with you and relate to you and engage with you so that you can build and develop the whole team around you. A lot of leaders think it's all about them. It's really not.
Right.
It's about the team they develop around them.
Right. And my interest is to be a stellar leader. And that isn't saying that isn't the type A personality coming out, but that's more that I owe that. I owe that. That's my responsibility to my employees, to the organization, to our stakeholders, our external stakeholders. But in that stellarness comes a high price. And we have been talking about that today, in understanding how to navigate that high price and move forward and always move forward despite those feelings of being assailed with self-doubt is really the key, but also the most important thing as a leader is to understand yourself as a leader and what's important and what makes you tick in order to be a stellar superior leader.
We're talking with Donna Dwyer, President and CEO of MPTC, My Place Teen Center. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi. This is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
I love mosquitoes. They're so cute. Their cute little wings and pokey little mouth. I just want to cuddle with one. Make it my little mosquito pet. I'll call him Skeety. Said no one ever.
There's mosquito repellent, and then there's mosquito dead. Kill them with Terminix Mosquito Service. Kills more than 90% in 2 to 3 weeks, and it's safe to use around people and pets. Call 1-800-TERMINIX today. 1-800-TERMINIX. Death to mosquitoes.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Donna Dwyer, President and CEO of Maine Place Teen Center, or MPTC. Check out the magic behind our red doors. That's the tagline, right?
I love that.
Yeah,
yes.
Very good. Very, very,
very
good.
Very true.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the Teen Center towards the end of the show, just because I think it's such a great organization that we should talk a little bit more about it. But we've spent the first part of the show talking a lot about leadership and talking about what I would call maybe the dirty little secret of success that you don't hear much about out there. And that sometimes leaders don't always feel successful. But I want to kind of talk a little about happiness. Happiness now. And leaders do experience happiness. There's no question about it. Well, why would you be a leader?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. So tell me what a leader should do with that happiness. How do you infuse it into the organization? How do you infuse it into yourself and rejuvenate yourself?
Well, when we're exultant about certain aspects, when we're standing up on that stage, accepting an award, when something fantastic happens with the employees, when the movement of the organization is it's all clicking, that whatever strategy we've put into place, it's moving forward. I think it's important to remember and critical to remember those key moments when we feel most exhilarated. And we feel most happy and most satisfied with, we did it. We handled it. We accomplished it. And so to remember those points in time, and again, to not take them for granted. There's a buzzword and a very spiritual kind of philosophy about gratitude, being grateful. And I fully embrace that. And there are some strategies that I've done to be grateful for that or what I want for the future. And so it's recognizing those things. They can be small. Thanks for this paper. Thanks for the coffee. Thanks for this beautiful day. Thanks for your wearing your pink shirt, Dave. That all of this is something to be grateful for and to really practice that art and to incorporate it as part of your day.
Well, you know, happiness is more than just an act. It's a feeling.
Yes.
Right? And I know it to be true, but laughter is infectious.
Yes.
And it moves through an organization. It moves through the leadership. Can you be too happy?
No. You cannot have too much happiness. Absolutely not. But can you be happy to the point of being annoying or silly or frivolous? Where it borders on, okay, come on, let's move forward. Sure. But can you be too happy? Never.
So how do you take that and really make the leadership team understand that it's a reward for everyone, that everybody's happy and that it's a good focal point to move forward?
Well, it's like what you said, happiness is infectious. And so when you're spreading that happiness, that love, that care, that charisma – which can be all part, there are definitions of happy. It isn't like, it's just, like you said, a feeling. But in the work environment, what is the definition of happiness? And I think each culture has their own definition of happiness, besides just the actual laughing or the happy dance. So I think whatever the culture, the community displays as this is what makes us happy, is that something that you just always continually try to incorporate?
Well, you know, let's talk about happiness in general, because, sure, again, it's an emotional side of being good. We talk about happiness being a boomerang, right? The more you kind of put out there, yes, the more you get back in.
Yes.
You
got to throw it out there.
You got to throw it out there. But sometimes people, as leaders, they hold back not only happiness, but they hold back everything, right? They're a little more controlling of the environment they're in. They don't want to look too happy because something could happen. They don't want to look too sad because something could happen. How do you reconcile that part of it?
Well, I think that is a leadership style, to be reserved, to be in control, to be recognizing, maybe to be more somber rather than frivolous, so to speak. So I think it depends on your personal style, what you're comfortable with. I think that human nature would dictate, open up, relax, loosen it. Loosen that tie, so to speak, because, again, by displaying that level of I'm human too, I enjoy life too, your happiness is important to me, and this isn't just a cliche, that you're actually displaying it, owning it, and participating in it, that the employees will recognize that. If you're buttoned up and stiff and you're not letting stuff go, you're going to have a hard time.
Well, that's probably true in everything. And you talk about be fearless in your fear.
Correct.
It's really no different,
right?
Right, in terms of that energy level that you need to put in to
right.
make that work.
Right.
It also will tell you what your personal brand is, isn't it?
Yes.
Because how you project it, we talk about how your image
yes.
projects what your personal brand is. Talk a little about personal branding.
So as you've talked about, My Place Teen Center, we are a nonprofit, and I've been in the nonprofit world for probably 20 years in leadership positions. And the nonprofit world is a very fickle, different kind of world, because unlike the profit world, the corporate world, so to speak, our dividends back to stakeholders in our personal circumstance are educated, happy, well-adjusted kids. We're not just raising kids at the teen center. We're actually raising adults. So think about that for a minute. We may serve 500 kids a year, but we're actually raising adults. So someday they could be you sitting in that chair interviewing another person. So it's really, really critical. So as nonprofits in that profit world, that fearless in your fear mantra has held true time and time again. We may not know what we're facing, what we're up against. Our funding streams could be taken away. 2 weeks into our fiscal year in 2012, all of our state funding got stripped away. Now what are we faced with? We have 500 kids to raise and to feed. Now what do we do? So just understanding the adaptability, which we talked about, the flexibility, the creativity, and having that strength and courage to move forward is something that you have, but you can also train yourself to have strength, to have courage. Just as a personal aside, several years ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. During the treatments, the doctor said to me at one point, you have 48 hours to live. Well, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and I'm not a very good singer. So the be fearless in your fear is very, very critical to all aspects of your life. Embrace it. Go after it. Chomp it. Stomp it. Do whatever it takes to keep moving forward.
Good for you. It's really, it's life is unpredictable, but be all in, right?
Be all in. That's
all
exactly
in.
That's it.
Right.
Be all in. Put it all out there.
Put it all out there. Make it happen.
Yes.
Live it to the
Have
fullest.
Have passion.
Have passion, yeah.
Your greatest entrepreneurs will all use the term passion. If you have passion for your work, if you have passion, everything else will fall in line. Well, sometimes when you're an entrepreneur and you want to develop something really big and you're the founder and developer, but you don't have the money behind you or the backing behind you to make it happen, and you hear the entrepreneur saying you have to have passion, you want to say to them, okay, stop it, cut it out. You have to have something more than passion. But at the end of the day, you have to have passion with something that just sends you over the edge with a passion. So passion is very critical and important.
It's the foundational piece.
It is.
Or don't do it.
Right. Or don't do it.
Or don't do it at that
point.
Or don't
engage it.
Or don't engage it. Exactly right. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
The Institute for Family-Owned Business is committed to the success of your family business. Over 30 programs and services are designed to meet the specific needs of family businesses operating in the beautiful state of Maine, today, tomorrow, and in the future. You're not just running a business, you're building a family legacy. Come join others like you. To learn more about the Institute for Family-Owned Business, visit our website at fambusiness.org. That's fambusiness.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we've had the great fortune of talking with Donna Dwyer, President and CEO of My Place Teen Center. Check out the magic behind our red doors, right? There we go.
I love that tagline.
It's very, very good. Very, very good. And we're talking about leadership. We're talking about the challenges of what really happens to great leaders, to good leaders, and what they really sometimes think behind the scenes that we don't really hear too much about. That's what we're talking about. One of the things that we mentioned during the break is a conversation about leaders sometimes have to look at the world in different ways, right? It's not always rosy. It's not always with rose-colored glasses. It's realistic. Let's mm-hmm. be realistic
yep.
in terms of what it is. Talk to me a little bit about, and I'll let you explain it, the difference between looking at it through soft eyes and hard eyes.
Right. So, I stumbled upon this and it really struck me. Do you look at the world through hard eyes or do you look at the world through soft eyes? And if you think that for a moment, with whatever you're doing, if you're just focused on your dollars, on your widgets, on the how many's, and through that you're looking at your staff, your employees, your colleagues, your stakeholders through hard eyes, what kind of reaction, what kind of relationship do you think you're going to have? If you're looking at them well, focusing on the widgets, but with soft eyes, and you are displaying that compassion, that kindness, and that interest in them, because as leaders, you get a lot of attention, you get a lot of focus, you're the one that accepts the praise, you're the one that accepts the congratulations on behalf of everyone else. And so if you're in your relationships, through your networking, through your colleagues and whatnot, you are really focusing on looking at people through soft eyes. Think about the difference in the world that you will impact, that you will encounter, if you look at people through hard eyes or soft eyes. And just that simple technique and that simple understanding as to how you impact other people's lives with how you are interacting with them, hard or soft, it really makes a world of difference.
No, it really, really does. You know, as we wrap up the show here today, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about your organization because I think it does such great work. Tell the audience, if you could, a little bit about not only you've told us what it is. Tell me about your mission. Tell me about what the mission is and what the results really need to be.
Well, part of our mission statement is we are safe haven. And to be blunt, the fact that we even have to have the word safe haven in a mission statement is pretty compelling and pretty out there. From a marketing perspective, bluntly, our brand is hungry, traumatized kids who just want a chance at a better future. And our business is transforming or saving lives. It's as simple as that.
It's not as simple as that. I know it sounds simple,
but
it's not.
It's as simple and as glorious as that.
I know, and it is. The reward must be amazing.
The reward is amazing because we are in the business of changing the trajectory of kids' lives. That's our widget. That's our dividend.
So you're funded mostly by, I'm assuming, grants?
We are funded through begging, borrowing, pleasing, asking, yes. About 88% of our budget is unknown at the start of every fiscal year. So we have about $520,000 that we have to raise every fiscal year.
It's interesting. You have a thing called Fund-A-Kid.
Yes.
For $960 a year, each youth sponsored will have access to 1,300 hours of service and 260 hot, healthy meals.
Think about that for a minute. For $80 a month, you can fund a kid for an entire year. They will be behind our red doors for 1,300 hours and enjoying 260 hot, robust meals. That's a bargain.
Yeah, it's a real deal. No question about it. And we'll make sure that the link, which is myplaceteencenter.org/the500club,
Where they
can fund a kid. Right there. Well, make sure it's on the link for the HR Power Hour, which right after this show, if you want to hear more or contact Donna directly, go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show, and the links will be there. The copy of this show will be there. The bio will be there. All sorts of stuff will be there so that you can go and you can get that information. Donna, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
And now your HR tip of the week. According to HR Magazine, June 15th edition, in an article titled, Has the Telecommuting Bubble Burst? Ensuring that working from home is successful for both an employer and its employees takes planning and constant attention. Tips from experts include, 1. Provide suitable training and technology. 2. Create appropriate performance metrics. 3. Establish regular times for discussion and brainstorming. 4. Communicate regularly. 5. Schedule regular visits to the worksite. 6. Find other ways to have informal interactions. 7. Set expectation on workers' schedules and availability. And 8. Select workers who are disciplined self-starters. That's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two guests from the Department of Labor for the state of Maine. First is Pam McGafflin. She's the Director of Bureau of Labor Standards, and Julie Rabinowitz, Director of Communications and Operations. And we're going to be talking about the new proposed federal labor standards and the minimum wage. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.